Well, we're beginning our journey now on our narrative lectionary, which gives us an overarching sense of what the story of God's people are. And our beginning for this year three is with Genesis 2 and 3, the story of the man and the woman in the garden, sometimes called Adam and Eve. You know, I remember some years ago when I was going into a Safeway checkout lane, I couldn't help but notice a picture on one of those tabloid newspapers. It was a picture of a shallow grave with two skeletons in it. And the caption was that Adam and Eve were found in Colorado. Pretty funny. Adam and Eve found in Colorado that the Garden of Eden was here in Colorado. You know, on goes the tabloid. Well, as much as they're not great for accuracy, the thing that I noticed on that was that Adam and Eve, or the man and the woman, were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They were sent to the east of Eden. So that means that the Garden of Eden would have to be to the west, maybe, say, Utah. Well, one of the things that this tabloid couldn't have known is that in some ways they had something right that a lot of people don't get right. And that is indeed that the Garden of Eden is here in Colorado. In fact, not only is it here in Colorado, it's going on right now in Colorado. Too often, I think we read these stories and we think of what they are as something that happened a long ways in the past and a great distance from here, something that happened, unfolded, and is done. For me, the truth of these great stories that we have in the opening of our Bible is that they are ongoing. They're telling us about ourselves and about God here and now. So with those ideas in mind, let me start talking about this wonderful story. Of course, it begins with God forming the dust, the ground, into a man and breathing into it. And as I hear that, I hear how we are people from this earth, from the dust. And even chemically, that's the case, that plants draw up the chemicals from the ground and we eat the plants, and that's how we get our heavier chemicals for sure. Sometimes animals eat the plants and we eat the animals. In any case, we come from the ground, literally. But it's more than this. We experience our lives as physical beings. We're tied to this earth. We're a part of this earth. We are physical people. But we're also something more. We sense that. We sense that we're somehow tied to something greater than we are as physical beings, that there's a spiritual component, that we are God-breathed people. And we live in this tension between being caught from the ground and grounded here, and yet have these longings and these connections to something more than this. Well, the heart of this story of the man and the woman in the garden, of course, is the fact that it all goes wrong. At first, they walk with God in the garden, and they're at harmony and peace with God, and they're drawing their life from the soil, and it's this kind of a bit idyllic situation there. But suddenly, there's this serpent there, a serpent who comes up to them and says, "Did God say to you, 'You shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, lest you shall die?'" And the serpent looks at him and says, "You will not die. God knows the day you eat of that tree, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." I think we hear that temptation, and we miss some of what he's getting at there, that the tree of knowledge of good and evil is more than a knowing, this is good and that is evil. It's really saying you have a charge, or you are above what is good and evil. You can do what you please. Good and evil is what you say good and evil is. You can live life as you want without God being in charge, without God's command hanging over you. You live it as you want. And of course, the woman likes this. She wants to be like God, being in charge, doing as she pleases. And she gives to the man, and they eat. And things go down from there. Things go wrong from there. God is asking, where are you? And there are consequences. Their hands are dirtied. Their hands are bloodied. Somehow, they're caught up in this thing. And that's our story that we live in, isn't it? And somehow in the back of our heads, we know that life should be good. That we should be walking in good relationship with God, and we should be at harmony with this world, drawing our life from it in good ways. And yet things have gone wrong. There's this incredible temptations in this world to say, forget about God. We're going to do as we please, when we want, and as we want in this world. We just run with this stuff. And not only do we eat of this fruit of this world, the Garden of Eden is the garden of this world, but we give it to others to eat, and they catch. We're all caught up in wanting to be like gods, charting our own course as we please, without regards to God. And yes, there are consequences. Our hands are dirtied, if not bloodied. We remember that on this September 11th day, that this is not a small thing, this story that we're caught up in. People die and are killed and fights and wars across this world because we do as we please without regards to God. So what do we say? As I stand back from this story, I want to note a couple things. The first is this, that before the fall, before things go wrong in this story, if you will, the temptation was already there. The serpent and his power was just a part of this world. It was created into this world. That's what this story says. And it's not just any kind of temptation. It's a very powerful, compelling temptation that plays on the weakness of our will and the desires of our hearts, which we already had in us. As I stand back from this story, I hear a bit of a setup for us. I think of Paul in Romans 7 saying, you know, the very thing I'm not supposed to do, I do. It's like we're stuck in this story, and it just keeps going on. Gets me thinking of that wonderful film, Groundhog Day. In Groundhog Day, weatherman Phil gets the assignment to go out to a little Pennsylvania town and watch the little rodent to see whether he'll see his shadow this year or not. And it's really beneath him. He doesn't really want to be doing this job, but so he goes out to this podunk town to watch the rodent. Well, the first day goes by, and of course he goes to bed that night. And he wakes up the next morning, and guess what? It's Groundhog Day again. And at first he kind of learns, he gains knowledge about how this day is going to play, and he kind of uses it selfishly. And he has some fun with the fact that the day is repeating, but he knows a lot of things now. But it doesn't last. Soon he realizes he's stuck in this story. And it's depressing. And I think that's the reality that this first story tells us. We're stuck in it. We're caught up. On one hand, it's a setup because temptation is so strong and we are so weak and our desires are the way that they are after these things. And on the other hand, we're somehow responsible that our hands are dirtied, if not bloodied, with this story, and it repeats itself, depressingly repeats itself. What's our hope? What is our hope? Well, our hope is this: Jesus Christ, through whom God has put a new tree, if you will, in this garden, the tree of his cross. And that we, as God's people, come to this tree to eat of its fruit. The first thing I want to say about this tree, however, is it doesn't fix everything. It doesn't make temptation go away. It doesn't mean that we're not going to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and want to continue to be like gods at times. What it does, it brings us grace. The grace of forgiveness. That even though we blow it, we make our mistakes, they're forgiven. And that God would not just reject us and kick us out of the garden to the east, but God would go with us and lead us and guide us in this world. You know, today we're going to have 50-some of our people here go out and do service projects across the community for God's work, our hands. And I know many of others, you serve in other ways, but that at least we can do good in this world through the help of the Holy Spirit. We can be led of God in a world that is caught up in the Garden of Eden story. And finally, we can eat of the fruit of this tree and know that we will not die. Though our bodies die, God will have us and keep us forever. So come to this table today and put out your hand and eat the fruit of the tree of this cross, that our Lord Jesus' body is broken and his blood is shed for a new covenant with us. Amen.